All right, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this Monday, May 1st, public meeting of the Garrett County Commissioners. I want to welcome everybody. Thank everybody for coming out. If everyone would please stand with me and recite the pledge, and then Pastor Kroll will give the invocation.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please bow your heads with me. Father God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for safety. And Father, I pray for each person here that as we have this tornado warning watch, pray, Father, you keep absolutely everyone here safe. Pray, Father, that you would grant wisdom as we always ask to these men as they deliberate over many things for the county, that your blessing would rest upon them so that they would be a blessing to others in the entire region. Thank you for their hard work and labor. Just guide them, Father, and grant them peace through all this. We pray in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Thanks. All right, Mr. Knoll, is there any additions, deletions, corrections to the public agenda?
No, sir, there are not.
Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the public agenda.
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
The agenda is approved by mutual consent. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting. Are there any questions, additions, deletions to the minutes? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
We have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. The minutes are approved by mutual consent. The first item we have on the agenda is National Prevention Week proclamation. And we have several folks, I think, from the health department. So I want to thank them for coming out and also thank them very much for all that they do. Lots of exciting things going on over at the health department and much to your hard work. So we do have a proclamation, and I'll read that, and then we'll have everybody come up, and anybody that wants to say anything will be more than welcome to do so. So National Prevention Week proclamation, May 14th through the 20th, 2017. Whereas substance use and mental health problems affect all communities nationwide, an estimated 27.1 million Americans are current illicit drug users. Nearly 7.7 million younger people report drinking alcohol in the past month, and one in five Americans ages 12 or older smoke cigarettes. Additionally, 12.5 million Americans misuse pain relievers, and for more than half of them, the last pain reliever they misused came from a friend or relative. Whereas this year's National Prevention Week theme, Making Each Day Count, recognizes the power each person has to influence the health and well-being of others by making preventative choices every day, by supporting someone who's going through a difficult time, participating in activities to strengthen the community, or instilling healthy habits in children from an early age. Whereas an estimated 12.3 million people in America are classified with substance dependence or use of illicit drugs or alcohol, and about 44 million adults have a mental illness. The impact of substance abuse and mental illness is apparent in our local community. An estimated 4,000 people in Garrett County are affected by these conditions. We have the power to change these numbers and, more importantly, change lives. And whereas through National Prevention Week, people become more aware and are able to recognize the signs of mental health problems and substance abuse, equally important, community members learn what they can do to help prevent these problems, whether by guidance, encouraging to receive help for behavioral health issues before it worsens, or setting example by staying substance-free. Whereas the Board of Garrett County Commissioners and citizens of Garrett County need to recognize the seriousness of behavioral health issues in our communities, the power of prevention, and the tireless efforts of those working to make a difference. Now, therefore, we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, proclaim May 14th through the 20th, 2017, as National Prevention Week in Garrett County, Maryland, and call upon our community to observe this week with compelling programs and events that support this year's theme, Making Each Day Count. In witness whereof, we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, set our hands and cause the seal of Garrett County, Maryland, to be affixed this first day of May in the year of our Lord 2017, signed by Commissioners Heimbald, Tichtenal, and myself. And thank you all very much. And come on up, please.
That was a long one.
Huh?
That was a long
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that was.
You need something to drink after that one.
Anybody want have anything they'd like to say?
Yes, we do have a little bit to
say.
Sandy, do you want to start with the activities that are going on, and then I'll kick in on the Wednesday?
Sure. For National Prevention Week, as you can see by the schedule there, there's activities for tobacco use, underage drinking, alcohol misuse, prescription drugs, opioid misuse, illicit drug use, youth marijuana, prevention of suicide, and then promotion of mental health and wellness. So during each one of these days, we have special things going on within the county. For tobacco and alcohol, we're going to have a little bit of fun with that one with prevention, because we do like to have fun, but we do sometimes. It's important. But we want to put different posters and signs throughout the county. It's like a scavenger hunt where people will be able to go and get like a hashtag picture, hashtag prevention works. And after that, we'll upload those pictures. You'll be entered for a prize. But with each and every one of those, will be a strong message with prevention with alcohol and tobacco use. I say we like to have fun, but we're also very serious about the alcohol and drug use within this county, especially among our youth. So if everyone else would like to share what they're doing real quick, that would be awesome.
Okay, well, on Wednesday, May 17th, that's for the opioid and prescription drug abuse prevention. I'm going to be doing a showing of If Only at Southern Middle School from 6 until 8. I have two speakers coming, Taylor Day, who's going to speak about how addiction has affected her life, and Jean Tamborello. I'd like to invite the commissioners to come and everybody that's here. The video is about how young people get mixed up with drugs, and not to give too much away, the mom finds out her son's on drugs and puts him in rehab and tries to talk to the other boy's parents, and they say, not my child, that wouldn't happen. And then several days later, that young man overdoses on drugs. I'll be giving toolkits to all the people that come to the in attendance, and it'll be how to talk to your kids about drugs, how to have that important conversation.
And I have been going around the county with a few different youth, and we're going to every tobacco and alcohol licensee in the county, and the youth are doing observations of the type of advertising that is around the county. And on May the 18th, which is the prevention of marijuana and illicit drug use, those youth will be having a press conference to share the results. It'll be right here after school at 4 o'clock that day. And we'll also be sending notes to all of the licensees, letting them know how the youth felt they did. I can tell you preliminarily that our stores do an excellent job. There's not too much alcohol, tobacco, or marijuana advertising, with few exceptions. So we want to recognize the good work they're already doing and hope they continue that.
The billboards and posters and all those things are gone, though, aren't they?
Pretty much, yeah. So we're just looking in the stores to see what kind of advertising they have.
Was that by law, or is that the industry trying to police itself? Do you know?
Some of the tobacco advertising is by law, but I think that's the only one.
Oh, thank you.
I think the other is things they've done on their own.
Used to have Marlboro Man, remember? Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Joe Camel. Yeah. Camel Joe. Yeah.
Fred, do you have a movie showing? Did you want to say anything about the movie?
I don't know what the title is.
Okay. We will be doing something and sending it to your office, I guess, to Carol, so you guys know the events when they're happening.
That was Learning to Lean is the name of that.
Is that what it is?
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
You guys can scoot down there if you want. We have to scoot down.
Who wants the proclamation?
Time to stay away from
right there in the middle.
There we go.
So we're doing a picture?
Yeah.
No rabbit ears, promise.
All right.
I recognize the lady with the red shirt's the reason.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm not going to make you move around too much. You look pretty good this time. So. Except Sadie's a little short, so I'm going to go up a little higher.
Thanks right. for telling everybody.
I'm sorry. I'm just making everybody look as good as I can. Ready, set? We're going to do a couple without a flash, and I'm going to do one with to see if we get it any better. So hang on. No, it doesn't want to flash. Okay, that's fine. Make sure. Ready, set.
These are a nickel apiece.
if they're any good. All right.
I forget that.
Okay.
So while you're up here, do we have any feedback from the visit last week yet? On the
feedback, and I was going to thank all of you for your support with the Salt
Yeah, please do.
With that tour.
Okay,
they complimented us. We will not know anything until July, but then at that point, we're still put under like a gag order, because they're going to send those communities that are chosen will have a film crew come in and have pictures taken and things like that.
So, Larry didn't make such a bad impression that we're knocked out of it all again.
I think he did okay.
I tried to play low key for you.
He cleaned his boots off, right?
Hey, Bob, do you want to invite everybody, including the audience, to the accreditation celebration on Wednesday?
Well, that would be a good. We're just all helping each other out here. You probably have already received the invitation to the Public Health Accreditation Board. Actual celebration with Deputy Secretary Howard Hatt will be at 4 o'clock on Wednesday and over at the Health Department. Everybody's invited. It's quite an accomplishment. We're probably one of only one or two health departments in the nation that have been accredited that have a population of less than 50,000. So it's quite an accomplishment. So,
excellent work.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, another proclamation. This time for the National Day of Prayer, which we do every year. And we have a couple pastors with us. I'll invite them up in a second. The proclamation for National Day of Prayer, for your great name's sake, May 4th, 2017. Whereas National Days of Prayer have been part of our country's heritage since the first one was declared by the Continental Congress in 1775. And whereas leaders of our nation have relied upon the power of prayer throughout American history, and whereas throughout our nation's history, leaders have urged citizens of faith to pray for our land and those who defend our freedoms at home and abroad. For many, prayer is an important day, an important part of their daily lives, and today we join with people across our country in uniting in a National Day of Prayer. Now, therefore, we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, do hereby proclaim May 4th, 2017, as a day of prayer in Garrett County, and do commend this observation to all of our citizens. In witness whereof, we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, set our hands and cause the seal of Garrett County, Maryland, to be affixed this first day of May in the year of our Lord, 2017, signed by Commissioners Heimball, Titchnell, and myself, and Pastor Rexrode and Pastor Kroll, if you guys would like to come up.
Paul, you want them to come?
Yeah.
Paul's going to take a picture.
I've never been behind here, Paul. It's always been in front.
Yeah. You guys, anything you want to say?
Just the location of the time.
We want to invite everybody on Thursday at noon at the train station. Rain or shine?
That's right.
I'll look here for the photo, or?
Yeah, well, I'm making notes. We're supposed to smile, not you. You don't have to smile when you're taking a picture.
He's a happy guy.
I'm smiling because of the content.
Do we got it?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Calendar here, quick.
I don't.
Okay. Next up, Garrett County Purchasing Department, Brian Bowers.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have one agenda item for your consideration today, and that is the rejection of two bids that we recently received on April 13th. This is for the replacement of the Roger Glockfeldy building roof, the flat sections of the roof out there. The bids all come in over the budgeted amount of $15,000. So at this point, stage in the game, we discussed it with Jason King, a maintenance supervisor. We're going to reject the bids. The two bidders were approaching the application of the roofing system two different ways, torch applied versus cold. We're going to go back and take a look at those and maybe look at another contract that we could use to do the roof project that may be less than the amount of the bids we received here. So we're going to go back and explore our options. So at this point, I need for you to simply just reject the two bids, please.
I'm just curious why you sent us that and we looked at it, I remember, but there are only two that end up bidding on it.
Yes.
And they weren't local companies, were they?
Tri-State Roofing was really the most local company you're going to find to do roofing work. I know that Carl Bell Tight Roofing, Daystar looked at it locally, but roofing work, especially this type of roofing work, being that it's a flat roof, you don't have a lot of contractors even in the tri-state area that do that.
Oh, so that's what kept a lot of the smaller companies that do.
If we were looking for a shingled roof, we would have a lot more competition. It's because of the roofing system and the way that it's applied limits the competition.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
Any other questions for Brian? Hearing none, do we have a motion to reject both bids?
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, next on the agenda, Garrett County Department of Planning and Land Development, J.B. Churchill.
All right, well, this is road name resolution RN17-1, first one this year. I just have two proposed road name additions. One is from the town of Oakland. It's the Park Place Way. It's down near the town parking lot, and it's a very short road.
Yeah.
And the other one is in off of Penn Point Road. It's Paradise Lakeview Court, just a small, minor subdivision kind of thing in there. That's the road that they, they came up with. I didn't find any conflicts with any existing roads.
And both new roads, so there's no, yeah. Okay. Questions for JB? All right. Motion to approve Park Place Way and Paradise Lakeview Court.
So moved.
Right, motion and second.
Second.
Question on motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Okay, next on the agenda is Garrett County Department of Economic Development, Cindy Sharon for the Community Development Block Grant Funding Application.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
Thank you. In reference to the notice of public hearing that was advertised in the Republican on April 20th, the Board of County Commissioners has obtained the views of citizens on community development, economic development, and housing needs, offering citizens an opportunity to hear and review plans for applications proposed to be submitted to the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development for funding through the Community Development Block Grant Program and also CDBG. Proposed activities must meet one of the following national objectives: benefit persons and households of low to moderate income, aid in the prevention or eliminations of slum or blight, and meet other community development needs of an urgent nature or immediate threat to community health and welfare. The state of Maryland's allocation for federal funding this year is estimated at $7,205,995. Applications are due at the end of this month on May 31st. To date, projects proposed are requesting $325,000 in match funding by the Mountain Rural Medical Center, and they're also known as Western Maryland Healthcare Corporation. They're a federally qualified health center operating since 2006. They would like to purchase equipment for its facility for an expansion, as well as expansion of services to include chronic care management, transitional care management, and diabetic self-management, and telepsychiatry. And then additional details of this project, it can be obtained at two places. One, on the county's website, garrettcounty.org, under minutes, agendas, and recordings of the Board of Commissioner meetings. There was a presentation on this project on April 18, 2017. And if you'd like more information about the detailed services, you can go to the Mount Laurel website or call 301-533-3300. The second request is for $150,000 in match funding for the Pathway to Homeownership Program, assisting first-time homebuyers with low to moderate income households with closing costs and down payments. And this is to be administered by the Garrett County Community Action Committee. They've been operating since, of course, 1965. Details about this program can be obtained by going on their website, garrettcac.org, under the Homeowner Services tag, menu tag, or also calling 301-334-9431. Commissioners, with this program, with the funding, this funding for closing costs will be limited to households with low to moderate income households. The match funding of $150,000 that they are anticipating can be used to meet the household income guidelines of Maryland's Community Development Administration or bond program. So it's the same program, but the money received through the community development block will be limited to households under a certain level of income, where the remaining money will not. And then also there's a request for $300,000 in match funding for the home repair and rehabilitation program, assisting homeowners with low to moderate income households for home repair or rehabilitation, such as roof repairs, electrical, plumbing, furnace, well, or septic system repairs. And this is to be administered by the Garrett County Community Action. And information about this program as well can be found at their website at garrettcac.org, under their Homeowner Services tab, or you could also call 301-334-9431. Also, I wanted to point out that Community Action has, for its home repair and rehabilitation program, in addition to requesting funds, it has an open CDBG grant awarded $150,000, and it's referenced by the Department of Community Development's project number MD18CD26, and it's incurred expenses utilizing about $70,000 in funding, and the approximate remaining balance of $80,000 is proposed to be expended toward $162,000 in qualified applications following completion of Maryland Historic Trust review of the projects. And this CDB grant that is open right now should be completed by July 31st of 2017. And in order to get more information about the Community Development Block Grant Program, you can access the website of the State of Maryland for the Department of Housing and Community Development. And they have the application form online, as well as the CDBG policies and procedures manual, and also the fiscal year 2016 HUD income limits, for which are most recently posted. So, thank you. All right.
Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions for Cindy on the information provided?
Yes.
Cindy, is there a comment period or period for letters of support for the proposals?
Actually, there's not a comment period, but if you would like to provide a letter of support to Garrett County Community Action or the Board of County Commissioners, that would be very helpful in the application that's due at month end. So that would be very much appreciated.
Thank you, Paul.
The pathway to homeownership is $7,500. Is that independent of the state program?
Well, it is. It really, just as a clarification, when I looked at this past year or the year we're in now, we have closed on 17 loans that included your money. So that, and we have another loan closing scheduled. So that really only needs two. More loans. But when I looked at the incomes of households, and that among those 17, 10 of those appear to me to would have been eligible for the under CDBG. So if we get CDBG, it will stretch the county money. The county money then will target the higher incomes, the incomes that would probably be eligible for the Maryland bond program, and we would use CDBG money for lower income applicants.
So, Dwayne, in the loans that we've already put out from our money
right.
that would have qualified under this,
right.
can you recode those loans or it's done?
That's too late.
It's too late.
CDBG money can, we can't start spending CDBG money until the environmental review.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Release the funds and all that. So
sure.
We can't go back.
Okay.
But going forward, if we would get this,
sure.
it would stretch. I think it would bring our program here, local program, just make it larger. It would stretch that money based on what I saw with the applicants this past, in this current year.
Right.
So has Cindy Stone or somebody told us that we're likely to get this? I mean, is this, is it competitive or do we know?
It's competitive. Well, Cindy, you know as much as I.
Yes.
Unless you have secret information.
she's aware of the proposed request, but again, it's purely competitive statewide.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? All right, thank you very much. Before we get to public comment, we do have a couple of announcements to make. First, as far as the budget schedule is concerned, as of right now, we have tentatively scheduled May the 25th at Garrett College in the auditorium at 6 o'clock for the budget presentation, followed by the adoption of the budget for FY18 at our regularly scheduled meeting of June 5th. Our next meeting of the Garrett County Commissioners will be our first meeting of the year to go on the road, and we will be in Kitzmiller. That's scheduled for two Tuesdays from now. So we'll be in Kitzmiller for that, and then we'll go on our monthly rotation up through, I believe, September or October, and we'll keep that updated as we go. And finally, what you saw in the paper and social media and so on and so forth, the Garrett County Commissioners have received and accepted Alex McCoy's resignation from the Director of Economic Development. Certainly wish Alex the best of luck in his endeavors as he's able to move closer to home and his wife's family anyway, and I know that was a big consideration when he came here. In the first place. So we are currently, we began right away reviewing the duties of economic development and the job description, so on and so forth. We will start a search immediately and go through a process to do that. In the meantime, or in the interim, we're going to rely on the very capable staff we have there right now to hold the ship together. No pressure, Cindy. you guys will do a great job, and our hope is to have, you know, hopefully we'll have somebody in there as soon as we can who's qualified and committed to making Garrett County a better place to operate economically. So that's just a couple of announcements. I'm sorry, we are meeting on Monday in Kitzmiller. Monday the 22nd is the Kitzmiller date at 6 o'clock. Just to clarify that, that'll be our next meeting, and then the 25th would be the budget hearing at the college auditorium.
Correct.
At 6 o'clock as well. Having said all of that, is there any comments? Yes, ma'am.
Speaking of the budget, mm-hmm. a lot of people in the arts community are saddened that the county's not going to be able to fund the help the college fund its performing arts center. Especially since the idea of not funding the art center at the Southern Middle School, the rationale for that was, oh, the college is doing a poor art center, why fund the Southern Middle? Did the county ever have any plans of helping the college with that program? If so, what happened?
Yeah, and I'm glad you asked. That's a great question, and I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. The College Performing Arts Center started out at a cost approximately to the county of about $1.5 million. That number then changed to be, I think, $4 or $5 million, and now sits at $7 million. The paper, the Cumberland paper, was incorrect in what they printed. We did meet with representatives from GLAF who were sort of spearheading that effort, and they totally understood that, and we talked about some options. That project, and I'll parse my words carefully, I don't want to give false hope or misleading information. I wouldn't say the project is 100% dead. I will say as it currently sits with the budget that it would take to do that project is not going to happen. So it's what can we do to massage that project to make it fall within the fiscal constraints that we had originally agreed to. I'll also tell you there's dialogue with the state. The state might have an interest in maybe trying to help us out a little bit. We've started that conversation. I think it looks promising, but I can't give you a percentage of, yeah, they're definitely going to do it, or no, they won't, but I think there's an opportunity there. I know that I had a very, very productive and positive meeting with Dr. Midcap about the project, and so he's very aware of where we're at, very supportive of us, which I appreciate, and I think we are committed to helping them in any way we can to do that project, but it's got to fall within the constraints that we have. We will continue to search for further monies through the state, which I think is a possibility. I really do. And they will continue to look at rescaling the project or modifying that project in ways that make it more doable. But that's a great question. And the point, the main point is, we didn't decline the project over $750,000 like the Cumberland Times said. It was $7 million. And it has, and over 3 years, really it was year one, it was one and a half, year two was somewhere around four or something, and now this year it was seven. So those costs continue to increase.
Had the state committed any money to it in the first place or not?
Well, it was on the CIP, so there was state money, and of course that those numbers change as well because the, you know, that, and they do. Yeah, it would have been a 50-50 split with us. We're trying to get them to go above and beyond that if they want to see that happen. And they're at least open to the discussion to see if they can do that. And there is GLAF and I think the it's either GLAF and the Garrett Foundation or one or the other has also done some private fundraising. And I think they have a substantial donor on the private sector as well to partner with this. So there is money on the table, and we're going to see how we can maximize that.
Has there been any discussion about a bond, perhaps paying the bond with accommodation taxes, since Performing Arts Center would be an important economic venue for the county? Is there any?
We have had some discussions about that, and of course that again is going to, you know, I would think that probably where we're at right now is a combination of seeing what the college comes back with maybe a modified request, but at the same time seeing what the state might do, and I think that state response is going to come sooner rather than later. I don't think we're going to be sitting here next year wondering what the state's going to do. I think we're going to know within a few months whether or not they're going to move on this or not.
Sometime in FY18.
Yeah, I think, yeah. And then we can, you know, we'll certainly, I know that's a project that's been out there for a long time. A lot of, and a lot of people have an interest in that countywide, and we certainly are very supportive of that, and it'd be a great addition to the college, but certainly the community. And you're right, that was part of the conversation with the middle school was this would be much more centrally located. Both schools and communities would be able to use it better. And we meant that when we said it and still believe that. It's a very good question.
Just in the way, clarification, just from my perspective anyway, with the way you kind of phrased that, I don't think we ever said we're doing one at the college, so therefore we won't do it at the middle school. We said our position was if there's going to be one, it ought to be centrally located, and the college would be the ideal place for it. And I think underlying everything that Commissioner Edwards said there is that we as a board support the project. We understand the need. We understand it's important. We understand how it helps kids learn and all that kind of stuff. It's just a matter of priorities and finding a way to fit it in.
We're cautiously optimistic. Good question, though. Thank you for that. Anyone else?
I have a question along those lines. Sure. We have that new facility at the fairgrounds. What's the possibility of using it in conjunction with that rather than blowing another $4 million or whatever?
Interestingly, that came up at the conversation we just had not too long ago as well about, again, I think that falls in the other possibilities range and what other things exist out there. And I don't think at this point in time anything's off the table or anything's a certain where we can only go in this direction or that's it. So I do think the door's open, and we'll certainly do whatever we can, and cost certainly is a factor.
The other thing I'd like to point out, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the value of the Performing Arts Center, that those arts have been funded pretty good through the commissioners over the years, in my estimation. Especially when you compare it to the land reservation segment, which has been funded rather poorly. In view of the fact of so many things that's changed as far as land usage, things of that nature, looks to me like it would be pretty beneficial for the county to redirect some of this and make it a little bit more equal to where we'd have better incentives for people to put land in ag preservation. They're always speaking of tourism here and how vital this is to our economy. There seems to be a lot of lip service there, but it doesn't seem to be a lot of money for the very things that help preserve this. And I think that ought to be considered. I think the last amount I had, the funding for the arts was probably about three times what it was for ag preservation. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'll have to look at that. I'm not sure.
I truly don't know, Butch. I'd have to look.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, hearing nothing, motion adjourned.
So moved.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.
Do you want this back?
No, sir.